You're still there?
Yep.
Okay. So I ask you again, what was it that got you through to the end?
Yeah, I think I mean at the end of the day, it's just blind, probably want of a better word, blind obsession. I mean, I was just pretty. I mean, it's the only thing I could really think about in terms of wanting to achieve that kind of goal, and I was just completely sort of motivated and focused towards that particular objective. And it really, to be honest, it really took that to be able to get to the end. So even when I'd come home for a break, when I was sort of about 3,000 kilometers through and pretty exhausted, my body had just been so battered. Even when I was, technically resting, I just couldn't get the idea of trying to complete that journey out of my mind. It was really like an obsession, and so in some ways, that's what was getting me or giving me the propulsion, or both compulsion and propulsion to get there. But in some ways, it's not necessarily such a healthy thing, because you're just, to be that focused on one thing all the time can sort of, it can sort of close you off from other experiences. But for that particular journey, I just needed that particular drive and that kind of blind sort of focus to get there. And it was the same with writing the book as well. It just required such sacrifice of every other possible life option at the time, just to get to the end. To the extent that, in some ways, if I was to do that experience again, I would do it differently, because there wasn't enough balance. It was very, it was too driven and too focused, so that I missed out on a lot of other life experiences around that time. But I mean, having said that, I got the journey done, and I got the book done, and they are two achievements that I'm very proud of, and the sacrifices that they took were in no way of comparison to the actual benefit that was derived from getting the book out there and completing that particular journey, because they were definitely the two biggest accomplishments in my life at this stage. So yeah. So in terms of the trip itself, I think the idea where I mean, you look back, like, to put it in context, you'd be walking and you'd walk all day, and you come to the top of a mountain, you'd look back and you'd see for the last, say, 2 or 3 days, really, that you'd been walking. You could see where you'd been, and you'd see all the kind of pitfalls. You'd see the villages where you'd kind of eaten at. You'd see, oh, there's that place where we met that guy that told us, to go down that gully and that canyon, and that helped us avoid this particular pitfall and that kind of thing. So you could see your past all behind you, and then you'd go to the top of that hill and you'd look forward to your future, and you see the wall kind of heading out in the future, and you kind of, like, you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. It was still your future, but you just hadn't had an idea or feeling after a while of walking what was kind of going to happen. Like, and that's when I started to look at things like reading signs and omens. Like, sometimes I'd see some birds come along, and I'd go, okay, now why are these birds here? And so you're on your own, so you're just thinking what that possible meaning could be, creating your kind of life through there. So you're again forging your path ahead with the journey that was in front of you. So, like, you knew you want to keep walking to the water again. That was the journey, that was the plan, but you didn't know exactly what was going to happen. But you could kind of get little insights and ideas as to what was coming, in terms of sometimes there'll be warnings, or sometimes, yeah, some good things. So it was kind of an interesting mindset. But yeah, but going through all these experiences and building on them as I, like, face this stage and face that challenge, it's almost became easier and easier to want to finish, because, like, you don't want to give up when you've already been through so much. And so I had one experience where I was on my own, and I was caught by the Chinese army, and it was just full on, and I didn't know what was going to happen, and I managed to get out of that experience eventually, and then keep going and going up, and then just the mountains, just so many mountains, and it just gave you more and more strength to keep on going, because you just saw all that was behind you, and when you looked back. So it was kind of that kind of what each step that you put in, you get to, it gives you the strength for the next one, and that sense. So it's like anything in life, you're sort of building a house or putting a case to court or whatever it is, it's all about the each brick by brick, each step by step that gets to that massive destination. So if you bring it right back down to sort of pure simplicity and being in the moment and making the most of that particular moment and doing it as best as you possibly can, so you're in as good a position to carry on and make the most of the next opportunity that comes up at the next stage of the journey. And so it was just a massive collection series of days, 9 months of them in all. And then eventually, you know, you look back and you've got, man, you've got 4,000 kilometers behind you. And it's like, it's such an empowering feeling, because as the war kind of comes to the end of the ocean, and I really had that feeling when I went back to the Olympics in Beijing. It was quite a few years later. I would see these parts of the wall and I go, man, I've walked that. That's part of who I am now. That's part of my mana or my esteem. That's part of my identity. And it was such a proud realization of something that I hadn't really realized I was taking the journey for, but an extra additional benefit of having taken it. Because the things that you go through in your life, you become that. That's who you are as a person. And that's what you carry to the next challenge that you take on. So having got that 4,000 kilometres behind me, for example, there's not too much now that can faze me so much, because I know I've gone out there, I've tried to complete something that was conceivably impossible in my mind when I set out at the beginning. But then after sort of application over the 2 years that the journey took, then it makes me think, if I can get through that, I can probably get through anything. Just have to sort of, you know, put your head down and be humble and do it step by step, and you'll get there. You know, you'll get there eventually. So it was very much that kind of realization, that kind of strength.
Yeah, I mean, because really, your life was at risk a number of times out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the whole point of the, the journey itself, like, you just, because you didn't know where you were next going to get your next meal. Many times we'd meet for a couple of days and there'd lots of snakes, and the heat was 45 degrees in the summer and it went down to minus 20 in winter, and we didn't really have the gear to really keep us alive in such extreme temperatures. So we basically were just walking to stay alive and finding shelter in the middle of the day if we could, or finding places where we could swim to cool off in the summers, but we were really relying on our own wits, and because we had no support crew, and I mean, that's a big difference. A lot of people have gone on the wars and subsequently, but they had just support crews, and it's kind of a different experience when you know you go to the end of the day and someone is there looking out for you. We didn't have that. You know, we just went out there with faith, really, just with the will to walk the wall, and that will alone saw us through. And I mean, that's paying huge credence to the Chinese people, because they were phenomenally generous in their hosting and looking after us. They really did propel us along and keep us going. I wouldn't have been able to walk 5% of that wall without their kindness and their generosity and their support.
Well, they were your support crew. You had to surrender to a greater support, really.
Exactly what it was, mm-hmm. And that was probably the most humbling thing of all on that trip. It was such a privilege to be in those areas because of those people. They were so amazing to us in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and open and willing to share everything that they had with you. And
yeah, and the beauty of it was a mutual sharing, because for a lot of them, especially the kids, I mean, a lot of the kids hadn't seen white people face to face before, so it was interesting in the way that, like, you'd see a little kid walking to school and you'd be walking past in your big packs and they'd take one look at you and you'd see just the pure expression in their face of just absolute shock and surprise. You just knew in that second that the boundaries of their cerebral capacity just expanded at a whole another level.
Wow.
Just in that moment, because they had never come across a white person face to face. So we it was at moments like that where you were like, whoa, this is a huge responsibility. So, they're forging their perception of the white man or the foreigner through this experience, and they're probably going to hold that for potentially a lot of their life, given it was so remote. So, so we just went out there and we learned this over time, just to go out there with so much love as we could give and just be so giving and kind. And if that was the one representation of the one that they were going to have, well, it was going to be a bloody good one. So that was the sort of responsibility that we held, having that cultural exchange. Mm-hmm. And the same when we'd come into a village and we would have walked 30 km and you're absolutely exhausted and these people are feeding and you're just so grateful. You just, like, I've never been so grateful. And just the fact of the food had never tasted so good, and the company had never felt so savoured, and you'd have the whole village would come screaming into that person's house because it's just, you know, the word would get around in minutes, and they'd just sit there and they'd look at you all night, and you're exhausted, but you just up there and you're looking straight back at them, and they're just giving you this energy, and it was just amazing, and it was so nice that that as two cultures we were attracted to each other. I just don't know how that journey would have worked, or if it would have worked as well if our cultures weren't so attracted to each other. I know in other countries, say for example in Australia, you have a lot of problems with Aborigines and the local sort of colonials that came in there, and there wasn't that mutual attraction, so there was a lot of issues between those races. So but the thing I found in China, and generally, in general, the European and the Chinese, they have that quite a strong connection. So that it opened a lot of doors for us, and that's pretty much what kept me alive. So in that sense, so it's really lucky in that way as well. But just to share those moments of just no words were spoken, just sitting there staring at each other and just in awe, really. And that was our night, and the next morning then you're on again, carrying on to the next village. So it was a privilege to have that opportunity to do that at that time when the wall had just been opened. So it was sort of some of the first people to go through there in a very long time. So yeah, that was awesome. Experience.
Indeed. How did you, I mean, you took how many years, you know, to do the trip and then, you know, the book and that sort of thing. How did you fit that into, you know, your career and, you know, kind of getting, you know, financially through and all that sort of thing? How did you make all that work?
Yeah, good question. Well, I started walking in 2000 and then the end of 2000, and finished it sort of exactly 2 years later in 2002. And so that was, within itself, that was 9 months of walking within that time. And what I would do, I mean, to sustain myself in that time, especially when I came back to write my book, which took me 3 years to write, and another year on top of that to get it published by Penguin. What I was sort of doing is I would do like a 3-month contract at a law firm, or work for one of the legal government agencies, save some money. But I would do that. But actually, they have an artist scheme back in New Zealand where you basically get paid the equivalent of being on the unemployment benefit. But you're an artist, so you don't have to do certain programs that most people would do if they go on the unemployment benefit. You can just dedicate your time to your art. So I did, and our government had just started that program. So I went on that for a couple of the years while I was writing the book. And I mean, I was living off literally $140, but nothing, very little money a week. You know, just enough for my rent and a little bit of food. But the thing was, when I started living in that way, when I'd go into the supermarket, it was the same life again. It was like all the deals would just come to me and so I could afford everything. And when I started making money, it was really interesting. When I started making money, those deals just weren't there anymore. You know, the things were a bit more expensive. And so I started to notice that. And even in my Western world, there's that same energy, that same sort of flow. And it was just taking those sort of skills and that same time, by keeping that intention towards trying to achieve that book, you know, life was still helping you out as long as you were sort of not too greedy or not, you know, just living in harmony with the environment. And so I had more than enough to get me through. It wasn't a great time. I wasn't sort of running around and living in 5-star resorts or having that kind of superstar life or anything. It was hard knocker, but it was just enough to enable me to get to the end, as long as I followed through on that intention. So, yeah, I mean, life is pretty. It does help you out, but the thing I've kind of learned is that as long as your intention's good, then it will help you out. If your intention's not so good, then that's when the sort of trouble really started.
Get back on track, yeah.
Yeah,
the struggle will show you where you need to change something in yourself, inevitably.
In terms of the actual, in terms of the promoting of it, and once the book got published, like a lot of the energy that I invested into that book, and then when it went out there and it turned into a bestseller, and I mean, it came back all that time that I put into it. It did come back later on. It was just sort of, It was just more of a delayed explosion of experience, as opposed to, say, maybe going to work each week and just getting a little bit of money each week. It was just you got a little bit more in one box, so I'm a little bit later down the track. That's kind of, I suppose it kind of all comes to the same sort of conclusion, just in a different kind of different manner. So that was kind of how it experienced for me anyway.
So what has life been for you since that, you know, since you've got your book out there and you're still traveling? What's your next big adventure? What's your, you know, what propels you forward now?
It's kind of interesting. It's when I got my book out, what my plan was, because I'd already done my 50 countries, and I thought, right, I'm not going to go and travel anymore until I've got this book done and just completed that kind of challenge. And once I did do that, then I just basically spent a couple of years going around. I was living in the UK, lived in London for a while, and I was in China and Australia and America just promoting the book while I was going around traveling. So that was quite a good way to change my traveling approach. Instead of just traveling and exploring, I was actually traveling and promoting my book, and then also writing stories for the magazines that I've been writing for the last about 12 years. On the side as well, just to opt the stories that I was interested in that weren't necessarily about the war, but like for example, I just got back from Thailand recently and wrote a story about the tsunami recovery efforts, mainly because the last time I was in Thailand, I just missed the tsunami by one day, so I had that kind of emotional attachment to that experience.
Wow.
And I'd write about the changes to China when I went back to the cover of the Beijing Olympics. I'd mainly be writing about the changes to China and how much over those sort of 10 years, and because it had changed so much. For example, Beijing had built about 7,000 skyscrapers in that time, so it was just stuff that just blew my mind in terms of how much China was progressing. And then last year, went to the Soccer World Cup and covered that in South Africa. And the main reason was I was an exchange student there when I was 18, and I'd never been back. Exactly half a lifetime later, I went back for the World Cup, and it was just very strong flow again, you know, just meeting the right people at the right time. And a few of my friends are in the New Zealand soccer team going over there, so I wanted to support them, and it was quite a strong pull. And I was just writing about how much the apartheid system had changed from when I was there in 93, when the elections were just about to take place as an exchange student, and then coming back and just seeing how much the race relations had improved in that time. It was really awesome to have that kind of that opportunity to be able to see from that perspective, having been there so young. So so I kind of get driven by ideas, and interesting, and most of them are kind of travel orientated, but there'll be some sort of issue or some sort of event or competition. Like at the moment, we've got the Rugby World Cup here in New Zealand, so I'm back home sort of getting a gauge of what's going on around the country at this kind of historic time for New Zealand. And it's just nice, and that's kind of what dictates my life. And I know I'm getting to a stage, I mean, I'm 37 now, and it's that stage of, you know, start to think about family and, you know, just finding a partner. And so those things are becoming more of a priority, and that's just where my body is wanting me to be. So I'm not stressing about that kind of way of the direction and how it's unfolding. I'm still very much trying to stay in the moment of each day, but I've got that sense because of these experiences I've had. I know the right people will come just at the right time, as long as I sort of just stick to my laurels and stick to my kind of goals and dreams, and you know, things will just fall into place. So I've got that kind of just inner faith that the right things will come at the right time, and when they don't, well, they're just lessons anyway, so it's all good. So that's my outlook anyway. Like anyone.
So sometimes, is it always your passion that's driving you forward, or is it, you know, life supporting you and you just sort of staying open to the signs, or, you know, how does that work exactly, that, you know, even the trip to South Africa, I mean, did you have an interest in going back? And then, I mean, what was the deciding factor, right? Like, is it you that, you know, you have a desire and then things start to fall into place? Or is it kind of the circumstances align in a certain way and then you think, well, I'm interested in that and I'll just go with that? How does that work for you?
It's interesting, yeah. I think in some ways, I mean, for example, say with the South African trip, it was very much, I really didn't want to go back for a long time, but because I'd had such an amazing year there and it was such a profound experience sort of watching the rise of Mandela and the build up to those first Democratic elections, it was such a profound year. That was definitely the first year that I'd lived history in my life at that stage. I was almost too scared to go back, and then I was still in touch with some of my friends who were Springboks and playing and doing quite high level sporting that got them back to New Zealand and in the UK, so we had a lot of contact with those sort of people, but it was kind of I was going to go the year before, but it just wasn't the right time. I could just sense it was a very strong spiritual sort of kind of warning, no, not yet. And then so I waited the next year for when the soccer World Cup on. It was just so the right time. It just felt right. But it was definitely coming from my original intention, that trip anyway. And there's a lot of times where I just don't know what to do next, so just those experiences where that just happens, and I try to just lock down and save some money and do the basics, just so that when the inspiration does come, mm-hmm. and I really have that feeling that I want to go and travel again or do this experience or do that, at least I have the means to be able to do it in that meantime. So there's a reason and purpose for everything, I think. So it's probably actually a bit of a balance between my own kind of creation of my own life and what's going on, and then also these other things coming from areas where they certainly, and I'm liable with, for example, with China, certainly wasn't coming from my own intention at that time, because that was the last country I wanted to go to back in those days, back in 1999. So I've just kind of got a sense of faith of, just whatever all meant to be will happen, and just follow it as humbly as you can and give it your best, and that's and you should be happy with what you're doing with your life. So, yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, well, I mean,
simple, yeah.
You seem to, you accomplish a whole lot just by, that sort of, how should we say that? I mean, that sort of receptiveness to your own life, really. The openness to just observe and see and respond, right? Instead of, well, giving your life a chance to show you, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a really good way of putting it. It's sort of the thing where sometimes, with the wall, for example, I was very attached to that outcome. I was so blindly driven and attached, and it all had to be about like that. I couldn't be a happy person until I achieved that goal. And by going through that process, going through that learning, I've learnt actually you don't have to be that blindly attached to something. It's actually not necessarily that healthy. You'll get there. In the end, you'll get there. Just let things be a bit more patient. Let things unfold in their own time. Don't be so regimented and to a strict sort of time regiment. It's not necessarily the best way of going forward. So I've learned to be a lot more relaxed in the last, say, 4 or 5 years than I was in, say, my early 20s, late teens, where we were just basically socialized, brought up in such competitive environments that we're just so driven and just to a level, which, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that at all. I mean, it gets things done, and it can lead to really positive results, but it just kind of that journey through China just changed me in terms of, it doesn't have to be about winning, there's other ways of learning your life lessons. So yeah.
Okay, now more. on that note, because we all have our different calls, things that we are called to do, or our life shows us, or we're meant to do, right? How would you, for the people that are listening to this call right now, what would you say, or what would you share as sort of, just your wisdom and guidance on how people can really access their inner knowing, and how they can, how they can answer their call in a way that makes sense and feels, well, maybe not comfortable, because there is a surrender piece to all that, but you know that they have some level of comfort in that. How what would you advise people to do that are, you know, maybe they don't have, they'd love to do something tremendous like you've done, but they don't really even know what their thing is to do. How would you guide them in figuring that out?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot of time in my life where I don't know what to do next, without a doubt. I think that's part of a human condition. It's you just kind of blindly lost, and you've got no idea, and you don't have any inspiration, and you just like, oh man, what do I do? You know, what do I do? And I have that a lot, without a doubt. It's not like it's clear and it just follows and flows. It's just not the case at all. I mean, in some ways, for example, when I was walking on the wall, it was actually just a convenient excuse. I didn't have to think of doing something else. I just knew that was cool. It was actually quite nice to have the next couple of years of my life sort of, in some ways, mapped out more or less by that journey, because that was where my attention was going. But I don't know. I mean, during those times, what I find I do is I just got to be on my own and just go and just be quite meditative and just sort of sit with myself and just let me come in back into me, so I'm not too influenced by too many other things out there, and just kind of just see where I'm at, see where my body's at, and what's it's kind of wanting at this particular stage of life, just for my own mental and physical well-being and whatever it is that I'm actually personally wanting. And then just finding that kind of core gravity. And if I can find that feeling, sometimes I can't. But when I do, generally when I go back out into the world again, I'm a little bit, I mean, I'm still responsive to what's around me, but I'm stronger in my convictions as to what sort of journeys I'll go on. Because what I have learned in my travels is that I do recognize flow very quickly. Like I'll be working with a show that my twin brother's doing, so that flow will very quickly manifest as soon as I get onto that particular subject of work. And then as soon as I finish that job, as soon as the very second I cut that relationship off to jump onto something else, then for example, then the Rugby World Cup, that was just that at the present time, will become, that energy will be coming in. And so I'll start to see a lot of the people that are visiting the city, and I'll say, okay, cool, this is just another flow. Am I ready to jump on this one now and go get my camera out and start taking photos or whatever it is I want to do around that particular experience? And then I'll kind of cut myself off from that, and then I might be with a friend or partner or whatever, and have that particular time and just have that kind of romantic experience, and that's maybe what I'm needing at that particular time. And as soon as that terminates and our two paths cross away, then boom, then my twin brother's sort of flow of going happy out with the show, that will appear again. You know, the people will just come along and they're just there. It's just really interesting, and it's a little bit it's enough to kind of do anyone's head, and I think in terms of being able to see what's going on with life and that the different energies that are coming in and influencing it. But I think the important thing is to be, if you have that time on your own and that strength within your own self as to who you are and what you kind of want to be doing as a person on this earth, then you've got more strength as to make the right choices perhaps into what's going to be better for you. On what journey you're going to take. Yeah, so there's no right or wrong, but it's just as what it is. I suppose it's kind of how I go about it at this stage, but I certainly am no master of this at all. It's an ongoing inquiry and doing a lot of learning down that road.
I think that's very interesting what you say about, you know, taking that time, right? Because you have the answer from within, or just to suss it out, right? Instead of looking, or, you know, there's always this quest, like, what should I do? What would other people want me to do? And instead of just sort of like, you know, taking that moment to check in with yourself and say, what is good for me and what is my body telling me? You know, even that simple connection, right? Like, what message is my body telling me that I need to do? Right, that's a very important, it's an important guide. Our bodies are an important guide.
I think it's vital. If you get in touch with yourself on that level, because you kind of know, like, I can remember when I was sort of, I think I was 23, 24, I just finished my law degree, and I was just starting working in the law offices, and I enjoyed it. It was a really good experience, but I was, my body was so eager. I'd be always looking outside the window, you know, like, oh man, I want to be out there, you know, and I, after a while, I just said, "All right, okay, I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to listen to my body, and I'm going to go out there and do that." And so my body was just so happy being. I kind of changed career to be more of a journalist because it was more conducive to being out there, and it's just what my body wanted. It was just nice to be out there experiencing all these cultures, seeing environmental degradation, seeing overpopulation, seeing poverty, seeing seeing the planet or whatever, seeing life. And then now that I'm sort of 37 all of a sudden, it's like, well, it takes a lot more effort or to have the passion to want to do all those things. I mean, I'll still do it. I'll still try and keep it in my life, even if it is for, you know, a couple of months a year or whatever in terms of that freedom. But it's not such a priority anymore. The body's like, actually, yeah, I want to kind of, I don't mind doing a job in the office as much as what I did before. You know, actually, that'd actually be quite a nice experience. So it's, as a guide, it's kept me relatively happy. And I mean, I have a lot of my legal friends are very wealthy now. And you know, they're stuck with those roles, but I personally just don't have any regrets. It's at least I went out there and did these things, and then I can go and do these other things a little bit later. So yeah, I think if you do follow your body, it kind of knows. It's got an innate wisdom that, you know, that our minds probably, it will take a while to kind of come around to, but it seems to know what it wants. And if you can allow yourself, if you're fortunate enough to allow yourself to have the freedom to follow those whims, then usually they turn out to be pretty, well, just good for you. It's good for your health. And that's probably the most important thing in the long term, because as long as you're happy and doing what you're wanting, then you're not going to be picking up, you know, sort of diseases and cancers and stuff which sort of seem to come about if you're living a life which you're not really designed to be living. You're sort of depressed or doing things you don't really want, and that's because you can feel that when you have those thoughts, you can feel that impact in your body. Well, I can. I've started to really notice that in my life through the experiences I've had, and yes, I just try and.
So you mean when you go against your wisdom that your body starts to freak out, kind of thing? Is that what happens?
Yeah. If I'm putting myself under massive stress and doing things that I probably don't, I can do it for a while. I can put up for it for a while. I mean, like with for example, the Great Wall Trip, you know, I put my body through huge stress for months. You know, I really did knock myself around. And so I learned the hard way through that trip. Fortunately, I didn't kill myself, you know, go all the way. But I learned the hard way in the amount of time it took to recover from that journey is you don't have to be so driven blindly to do something like this. There's another way. You're still going to get there, but there's a more balanced way, a more middle way of doing it. And that was just my own personal lesson of learning my own limits and working around them. And so that now when I take these journeys, when I do travel, it's instead of like having this sort of outlandish idea and trying to get all the way to some certain point, I'll just go to the halfway point and take my time. And I just have such a good experience. It's such a much nicer way of living my life. And so I'm just, yeah, you're just sort of going in with where your body's at and where your mind's at that time, and just trying to be in tune with that. And if I have my time with myself, just to sort of meditate that once in a while, then that definitely helps make it a bit more clearer for me. So yeah, that's just my way, but I'm sure everyone's got their own kind of way of finding what calls to them most. But if you can follow your passions, you know, and what feels right, then it's probably a good thing. It's probably more likely than not anyway. Yeah.
Well, it's simple, you know, and sometimes we tend to overcomplicate things, right? And create.
Yeah, we're a complex animal, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, but if we could just tune into the, you know, the animal that we are and what our body needs, then we probably, you know, a lot of direct information would be just right there, you know. So it is right there. It's just a matter of paying attention to it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So,
I think it just and it not just benefits you, but it will benefit those that you're around and who you influence as well. Because if you're sort of happy with what you're doing, then you're going to create that kind of positive energy around those that you come into contact with, and that's only going to kind of continue on in that mode. And so yeah, you probably create a far more healthy environment around you. So and for those people as well. So it just keeps compounding in that way. And that's got to be good. I mean, you look at the countries where there is a lot of sort of hardship, and it's just there's people that have, yeah, just, yeah, it's, I don't know, I mean, it's hard to really comment on it, but it's hard, really difficult experiences that they're going through, and, you know, and just that stress and that kind of negative energy leading to sort of more crises and wars and famines and those kind of problems that we're facing. Yeah, I mean, it's a reality of our life, but, yeah, it's... I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's hard to really comment on it, but it's, yeah. I think if you can kind of surround yourself with the people that kind of keep you positive and keep you good and keep you sort of on track in that way, then it's probably a good approach as well. But, yeah, but it's each to your own. You know your own path better than other people do at the end of the day. So you've got to be true to yourself, and that's kind of key. And then you're probably going to be stronger for other people at the end of the day.
On that note, I mean, that's pretty much it, isn't it? That's what it all boils down to. It's simple, powerful, and true. And I thank you for that. Now, maybe just for a moment, would like to refocus and let people know you've got a special offer. If they can find out more about your book and your DVD, how would you guide them to that?
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, I've got this website. It's really simple. It's www.greatwalldvd.com, and it's just basically got all these photos that I've just taken from the last, I don't know, 10, 12 years of traveling experiences that I've had. It's just, you just go online and just click on whatever link there is. There'll be some from New Zealand, there'll be some from South Africa, there'll be some from India, some from the Middle East, some from China, and just the different experiences. So they're just there anytime anyone wants to go and have a look at a photo, you might, or some photos, you can go on there and it might inspire you to give you an idea, or it might inspire you to do something, or whatever it is. And I hope that's what that's there for, just to kind of share and inspire, and if that inspires you to go and walk a week on the wall, or go and visit Everest, or go and see some village in the middle of remote India or China, or wherever it is that your desires take you, then that gallery sort of served its purpose, and that's just awesome. There is the book itself that I wrote, First Path Under Heaven, that is on there as well. So you can, there's links to Amazon, and there's also a DVD that I put together, because we did shoot the 4000K and put it together in a documentary format, and there's a link there as well. But pretty much I just invite everyone to go onto that website and try, and my email's there at nathanspictorials@yahoo.com. It's just on the website there. And yeah, just get in touch with me, and if you want to get a signed copy of my book and DVD, I'll set that up, and if I'll put it down at $50, and I'll send you it all out to whoever you want. So just give me your address, and I'll send it out from here with a nice message and stuff like that. And so there's that option as well. But mainly, just all about just sharing these experiences, and hopefully, whether it be reading the book and getting the deeper inspiration from that experience, or just watching the DVD and just seeing the whole visual experience, it's usually nice to see both. And if that leads to inspiring you to do whatever you want to do in life, follow whatever dream that is, and face those fears to go out and achieve that, then I mean that's the biggest reward that I could ever have from the time that I spent going on those journeys. So yeah, that's pretty much all I have to offer. So yeah, jump on that website, www.greatwalldvd.com, and it's all pretty much there. And don't hesitate to drop me an email and just tell me your own story, and if there's any way I can help out and share or whatever that I can do in my power, then I'm very happy and honoured to do so. So yeah, it's pretty much where it comes from for me. And I just wish you guys all the best in your journeys, and yeah, hope you can inspire lots of other people in whatever it is you end up doing, and helping others, whether it be helping others or having babies or great, cooking great meals or running great 100-meter events, whatever that it is. You know, it's just, as long as you're following your passions and your dreams and feeling like you're making the most of your, well, pretty much, you know, one shot on this planet, then you can't really go wrong, I reckon. So yeah, pretty much, if I can help in that way, then yeah, only happy to down there.
Well, that's extremely kind and generous of you, and you are a true inspiration. I really enjoyed this call, and I'm sure our listeners will too. And I just want to thank you for being here and for sharing your story and for, yes, uplifting and inspiring us to follow our passion. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Laura. It's been great. Okay. It's good getting to know you as well. It's all
okay. Well, now I can stop the recording here, and we could say goodbye or whatever, right? Because you know, I think that's it. I can end right there on that.
Yeah,
and
it's been great. Yeah, no, it's been awesome. Yeah, so I'm running out of ideas now to talk about. So it's been perfect. And I've pretty much covered everything I know.
Oh,
yeah,
you covered it. I honestly, I had. So I'm just gonna stop the recording here, and we can talk.